Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
We have a wonderful man by the name of Gary Morgan. Gary Morgan is a friend of the house in Newmark globally. Today is his first time at Newmark South. Some of you might have seen him at one of the Newmark Revival nights. Some of you would know him from different prophetic networks, communities. But Gary is a prophet in the city. He's a prophet in this nation. He's a prophet to the nations. He could be anywhere else this morning, but God put it on our hearts to invite him. He didn't even really know us. I bumped into him in a cafe last year. I'm like, hey, Gary. He's like, yeah, who are you? But it was very nice. We had a quick chat. He said it in a nice way. He was trying to have a bit of breakfast with his wife and Steve here. He's like, hey, man. But I just knew from that moment that at some point Gary was going to come out. And like I said, he could be anywhere else. But this morning he was here for our 9 a.m. encounter prayer service. And we were so blessed with what God spoke through him. Stuff that we'll have to go back and listen to, write down, and pray over. Stuff to do with the next, 4 years of this church and where God has taken us. So we're just so thankful for Gary. We receive the gift that he is. Gary, we honor you. We thank you for being with us this morning. Let's all stand and welcome Gary as he comes up to preach.
Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Wow, you can be seated. Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate it. Thank you. Wow, Newmark South could be anywhere this morning, but guess what? I want to be where he is. Amen. I just want to be where he is, and he's here. I'll tell you something. We've got to stop asking to be in a room we're already in. We've got to stop asking him to come if he's already here. Amen? I know our hearts, I know our intentions, but I guess sometimes we get so locked up in our default that we miss the destiny of who we are and what he's put in us. And it's so important that we recognize that only he changes the narrative. God hasn't asked us to change a narrative. The Bible says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. If he's the author, I don't want to be an editor. We've got to give up a pen, amen? We've got to give up a pen and step into his purpose. And so I really feel like whatever that looks like for you, I really sense the Lord wants to encourage us because he wants to bring us into a narrative that he's already won. A narrative that he's already established. He's already given us the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And we get to take part. I tell you, if we are partakers of a divine inheritance, it means we get to take part. And your part and my part makes something so beautiful. And that's the good news. Amen. You're part of the good news. You're part of what he's already forged and fashioned and established in everything that he's wanting to do and say in this place. So why don't we put our hands on our hearts this morning? And I want us to pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, speak to my heart and change my life. Father, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in this place. Lord, we ask you to unlock mysteries to become meaningful. Father, we ask you, God, that, Lord, you would enlighten in us today your word. That, Father, as Psalm 119, 105 says, that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Lord, we want to know where we are and where we're going today. And Lord, we thank you that your word does that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Well, guys, what a journey we've been on. It's already October. Can you believe that? It's like we're coming into, we're in the heads of the year. I'm so thankful that we have an incredible heritage in Jesus Christ that comes out of an old covenant into a new covenant. And we have an incredible inheritance that we get to have 2 new years, amen? We have a Jewish New Year and we have a Gregorian New Year. And this is one thing I love about the Lord, is that He whispers to us in this season that gives us a shout in the next. And so for those that are prophetic and have a prophetic understanding, which I think we all do, because that's our inheritance, is to hear His voice, is God is speaking in these days. And I love these this head of the year, this Jewish New Year, that we get to hear His whispers. What is He whispering? I love that in Isaiah it says, His word whispers behind me to say this way or that way. And so what is He whispering into you, into this season, that wants to become a shout in the next? And so what is He whispering? And I love it that many people talk about the doors, that this is the year of the doors. I'm off script a minute, but that's okay, amen? It's the hors d'oeuvres. And so it's the doors. But I love what one Jewish scholar I was sharing with said, Gary, this year is not just the year of the doors, it's the doors within doors. And for me, the doors within doors is a window. And man wants to come through doors, but God wants to come through windows. And whenever we see windows in Scripture, it talks about provision. Malachi, would not the Lord open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can't contain? And so, friends, I'm all about God opening doors, but I'm ready for windows. I'm ready for an outpouring. Yeah? I'm ready for God opening blessing that we can't even contain. And so I want to encourage you that there are doors to be opened, but friends, there's windows to be opened as well. And that's not just whenever the Lord speaks to us. I love that He speaks to us corporately, but whatever He speaks to us corporately, we can receive personally. Whatever He receives to us in a personal sense, we can apply that corporately. And that's why I love the prophetic, because we don't get to monopolize the prophetic. We don't get to go, well, that's my word. No, that's our word. Because if He wants to speak to me, He can speak to you as well. Amen? And we get to be a body that's interconnected, and we get to share in that sort of place. But I really sense today, there's a couple of things the Lord wants to undergird in our lives. And this is something I love about His word, is whatever the enemy wants to undermine, God wants to undergird. You see, it's amazing that every statement that God made to Adam and Eve, every statement God made to Jesus, the enemy turned into a question mark. It's amazing that what God makes as a statement, the enemy will always bring as a question. We see that right at the beginning. God said, this is who you are, this is what you'll do. And then the enemy came as a snake and said, hey, did God really say? And then we see Jesus when He got baptized. The heavens opened. We had that this morning. The heavens opened. God spoke an exclamation mark. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Exclamation mark. The very next verses, the enemy takes literally this poetic license and begins to ask Jesus a question. If you are the Son of God, what did God just say? It's amazing in your life. Whatever is a statement, the enemy will always bring us a question. The difference in punctuation between an exclamation mark and a question mark is simply that. And my Bible says that He's come to bring and make the crooked ways straight. Amen? He's come to make the crooked ways straight. The only difference between the exclamation mark and a question mark is crookedness. But He's come to make the crooked ways straight. And so whatever the enemy is trying to bring as a question on your life is God's statement. Are you really purposeful? Yeah. You are purposeful. Are you really blessed? Yeah, I am blessed. And so I want to encourage you right now, even as we come into this head of the year, as we come into next year, whatever you feel is a question mark on your life right now, God is making a statement. I am a statement of God. You are a statement of God. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, I don't want to be a question when Jesus is an answer. Yeah? I don't want to be a question if Jesus is the answer. And so there's an invitation right now that if Jesus is the answer, then we've got no questions, but the world has. Amen? We're unquestionable in our faith. There's no question. He is the answer. But there is a world out there right now is asking a lot of questions The trouble is if we start asking questions without providing answers. Yeah? Am I speaking to somebody? And so I want to encourage you right off the bat. This is off script. Whatever you feel is a question mark right now, whatever you think is questionable, God is wanting to make a statement in your life. Are you going to get married next year? No, I will get married. That's a word for someone, amen? I'm not into hatch, match, and dispatch, but I want to encourage you. Don't write just, let me say it like this, friend. Don't write off what God has written down. Don't write off what God is writing down, amen? Because the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 1:18 that we've got to wage war with our prophetic words. And so don't write off what God's written down. Amen? Are we ready to get into the Word this morning? I feel like we already have. Guys, I want to encourage you today that at the beginning of the year, I found myself in such a place where I felt momentum, I felt this place of really sensing the Lord, wanting to speak, wanting to do, wanting, you know, everything. We're in that head at the beginning of the year, we're going. And the Lord said, pause. I was coming back from Pneuma retreat, the staff retreat. We were there. Sarah and I went to do a prophetic Presbyterian ministry, and we're coming back from Marysville, and the Lord said, pause. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Why would I pause? The Lord said, pause. And you know, I love God when He speaks, because He doesn't just speak in words, He speaks in symbols. The prophetic is so poetic. And whenever you look at the symbol for pause, what is it? It's two lines that are parallel to each other. You see, what it is, when you pause, you come into a place of alignment. He wanted me to pause to align. You see, you can have an assignment, but if your alignment's out, friend, you go nowhere. You can have an assignment on your life, but if your alignment's out. And so alignment is so purposeful. You think we think alignment's about with each other? No, we've got to be aligned. Is our assignment in alignment? Is what I'm doing what He's saying? Yeah? And so I had to find myself in this pause place, and I'm like, God. And I remember being in the Full Pantry on Maroondah Highway, great place, run by some Lutherans. It's amazing, amen? Bless the Lord for the body of Christ. And so I'm sitting there, and the Lord said, I want wholeness, Gary. I want wholeness. And I'm like, what do you mean, God, you want wholeness? He said, wholeness is holiness. And I'm like, God, what do you mean? He said, son, you are whole in spirit. You are whole in emotion, but you're not whole in the physical. And my wife said, I got a body like a god. Buddha. And friends, you're my heart. This is my journey, not yours. And in the last 7 months, I've lost 23 kilograms. I was in Vietnam once having kids run up to me, rubbing my belly, going, happy Buddha, happy Buddha. I'm like, I need to move here. See, honey, these kids appreciate me. But friends, you're my heart. I'm not here to shame. This is my journey, amen? And I realized I was not in wholeness. You see, God wants us in wholeness, body, soul, and spirit, amen? And so I went on this journey, and the Lord began to speak to me about this place. And cut a long story short, He gave me two words, intermittent fasting and insulin resistance. And I'm like, oh, Lord, what is this? And so I went to the doctor to get some bloods, and I couldn't see my doctor. And so the doctor I saw, I walked in, and I looked at this, and I saw the Spirit of God in this doctor. And so the first question I asked was, are you a Christian? She goes, yes, I am. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. She goes, why? I said, I feel like the Lord's spoken to me. She goes, well, looking at you, I got one word. Insulin resistance. I'm like, where do you get that from? And she said, you are one episode away from shutdown. She goes, so she did some tests. My adrenals were one episode away. She said, you're going to wake up in the morning. Your mind will tell you to get out of bed, but your body won't move. I said, what do you mean? I said, I'm fine. Frantic, insecure, and erotic, and emotional. I'm fine. No, you're not. And so I went on this journey, friends, of realizing that I was speaking about the symptoms, but I was not doing anything about the cause. You see, it's become fashionable in Christianity right now to talk about burnout but do nothing about it. Am I speaking to somebody? We talk about the cause, but we never address the effect. Yeah? We talk about the effect, but we never deal with the cause. And so I literally went to this place. And so I went home from there. And so I thought, okay, I've got to start somewhere, God. I've got to start somewhere. So where do you start? You start in the kitchen. And so I opened the cupboard. And all of a sudden, as I opened the cupboard, a messenger of Satan fell out. Get behind me, Jeep. I'm like, what the heck? M&M's came out of the cupboard. I'm like, talk about insulin resistance and intermittent fasting. I thought, Lord, is this a word? And friends, to cut a story, and all jokes aside, as soon as I saw this, the Lord said two things to me. He said, Gary, this is a season of mission and maturity. And then he dug right in, and this is what he said. He said, Gary, it's time to get up and grow up. Mission and maturity. And friends, I want to speak this morning about mission and maturity, because I believe it's a word for the body of Christ. It's mission and maturity. And this isn't a place where I believe it's God is leading us into the comfortable. I believe the Lord is leading us into the uncomfortable. You see, I believe, let me say it like this, complacency is the aggressive pursuit of comfort. Lukewarmness is the aggressive pursuit of comfort. You don't require faith for the comfort, you require faith for the courageous. And I think COVID, friends, and it can no longer be an excuse, has lulled us into this place of comfort where everything needs to be comfortable, but God never called us to comfort. He called us to courage. Faith doesn't require comfort. It requires courage. You see, nothing grows in comfort. Nothing happens in comfort. You see, it's amazing when we think about culture. We think about this place of everything is about comfort. It's too hot. Turn up the air conditioning. It's too cold. Turn up the heating. It's too far. I'm going to take my car. Well, friend, it's just over there. I don't go on the bus. I only drive my seat. You know, all these things are all about comfort. And I feel like the strategy of the enemy right now in the last days isn't sin. It's not distraction. It's comfort. If he can get the church comfortable, he gets the church inactive. I can't share the gospel. It's uncomfortable. Friends, uncomfortable causes things to happen. And when I went on this journey of intermittent fasting, and I feel like we're in a Jenny Craig cinema. No, you're at Numa South, amen? When I went on this journey, there's two things I found that I need to do. Intermittent fasting was one. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, Gary, you need to Sabbath your body. You see, we think fasting is about giving up. It isn't. It's about giving in. It's giving in to purpose and priority. And so when I began to realize this, actually, it's not about what God's wanting to do here. It's what he's wanting to do here. You see, when you fast, you give your body Sabbath. And what Sabbath does is activates things. And what it activates is your liver. You see, you think your liver is only there for one purpose. It's not. It's there for multiple purposes. And when you give your liver Sabbath, it goes into something called autophagy. And what autophagy does, it releases enzymes that go into your body to find free radicals. It repairs, replenishes, and removes cells. What happens when we fast? We are activated to go into this world and find them things God wants to replenish, God wants to restore, and God wants to remove. Yeah? And the second thing was cold plunging. It's a word for someone here this morning. What's cold plunging? Literally, 5 a.m. every morning, I jumped into a 5-degree pool. And literally, I would hold myself and I would jump in and I would speak in tongues. The neighbors thought someone was getting sacrificed. But I'd be like, and literally, what it does, it activates things. It activates. You see, everything changed. Clarity, everything came. You see, it's like a daily baptism that happens. I feel it was like that adding, you know, John came with baptism, but when I come, I'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire and cold plunging. Amen? But friends, what was it? It was me doing the uncomfortable to cause something to activate in my life. Faith activates in the uncomfortable. Faith activates the uncomfortable. You see, God is wanting to restore mission back to us. Mission isn't a place of, well, I'm going to Africa, or I'm going to Mozambique, or I'm going to this place. Mission is literally on your doorstep. Missionary, being a missionary is literally in your house right now. You see, our street is our mission field. Our community is our mission field. This is our mission field. And what COVID has done is robbed us. It's robbed us of this reality that God has given us an assignment. And it's taken us into a place of needing. God wants to wake us up and realize, wait a minute, there's not something just to do, there's someone to be. Yeah? Am I speaking to somebody? What does mission look like? Well, friends, I feel like, let's get back to M&M's. Another thing of M&M's is Mary and Martha. We have taken the story of Mary and Martha, and we have caused, you're my heart, we have caused inactivity in the body of Christ. Because we've celebrated Mary's, but we've victimized Martha's. We have villainized Martha's. But this is what Jesus said. He said, hey, Mary has chosen what is best for this time. But what's the next time? What's the next time after that? You see, I love the song, when the glory's in the room, nothing else matters. But what happens when the glory's not in the room? Something better start mattering. Yeah? You see, we have to get to a place, and this is what I believe mission and maturity is. God is releasing maturity in the body of Christ, that we're okay to live in the tension of, hey, guess what? I'm a Mary, but also I'm a Martha. There's a symbol that I love. It's the ampersand. And the ampersand is the and symbol. You see, I think what we've done is we've lived in the either or place when God is saying it's the both and. I am blessed, but I'm still in need. Yeah? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But guess what? If Christ can do, I can do all things through Christ, then Christ can do all things through me. I'm living in the both and. He supplies all my riches according to all my needs according to his riches in glory. But guess what? I got a speeding fine I need to pay. Am I speaking to somebody? We live in the, this is what maturity is we can live in the tension. Therefore, if we live in the attention, we've got attention to give. Am I speaking to somebody? And so mission and maturity is what he's inviting us into, friends, is to realize that we can't villainize something to celebrate something else. We have to know what it is to live in the tension. That's what maturity is. That it's one day, friends, I could be going through hell. The next day, I'm soaring in heaven. But guess what? Blessed be his name. Yeah, this is the tension. And so I want to encourage us. Let me put my little M&Ms there. Someone can have one after. Amen? As long as you cold plunge. You see, this is where God is inviting us in to finding maturity. Now, let's make this meeting legal and turn to some scripture. Amen? If you got your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, I love this. I remember we were pastoring in Roeville and also as well, ministering as well, itinerantly. And I used to get emails from pastors. Hey, I'm done. I'm resigning. Gary, have you got a word for me? Have you got a word? And I remember, you know, meeting with pastors. They're like, have you got a word? And I'm like, Yeah. And I used to keep it in my notes and I used to copy and paste it back into the reply. James chapter 1. Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith is producing endurance. And that's what I want to open with right now. Friends, count it all joy, my brethren. Count it. You see, if you're going to count it all joy, you need to make your joy count. Joy is a weapon. Joy is a weapon. I remember a friend in Plant City, Florida, got mugged once. And this guy came up to him with a gun. And he's holding it right in his face. And he's like, give me your money. And my friend starts laughing. He just starts laughing at him. He's like, give me your money. Just starts laughing. And the guy's like, and just runs off. And I'm like, what? Dude, I would have been pantsing it. I would have got into some Jackie Chan or something. Brought some 5-4 ministry, but you what? You like he said, God, I don't know what it was. Just this joy came on me. What does the Bible say? That the Lord sits and laughs at his enemy. Joy is a weapon. Joy is a weapon, friends. You know, what gets robbed when circumstances happen? Your joy. What gets taken when situations take place is your joy. That's why thanksgiving is so powerful. I call it thanks living. When you start giving thanks, it unlocks something. When you see, friends, if you're struggling with church right now, I'm not talking about this church, maybe the one down the road, but if you're struggling with church right now, let me give you a key. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. If you get up Sunday morning and you're like, oh, I don't think I can go to church, find gladness. Gladness, joy, thanksgiving is a weapon. Gladness is what keeps you present. Gladness of heart. What does the Bible say? Acts chapter 2, that they met together under the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and they broke bread with gladness of heart. There is a power in gladness. If you are struggling with whatever it is, if you got thoughts that are not your own, friends, I want to encourage you, find gladness. Because when you find gladness, something happens on the inside. Gratitude changes the attitude. Yeah? But I'm telling you right now, gratitude gives you altitude. And you can't help it if your altitude is giving someone else attitude. Amen? It's not your fault. Don't say sorry. Don't repent for someone else's attitude because you got altitude in God. I tell you, we are repenting for the wrong things in the body of Christ. You see, I like to say it like this. We've got theology for seeking first the kingdom, but we haven't got it when God starts adding all things to us. We got theology for when we humble ourselves, but we haven't got a theology for when God exalts us or exalts someone else. Friends, we got theology for salvation, but we haven't got theology for restoration. This is maturity that he's bringing to the body of Christ. Am I speaking to somebody? Count it all joy. You see, if you're going to count your joy, you're going to make your joy count. If you're going to count your blessings, you've got to make your blessings count. You see, being blessed doesn't mean you're the richest person in the street. It means everyone else is. Being blessed doesn't mean you're the richest person in your family. It means everyone else is. Yeah? Count, if you're going to count your joy, you've got to make your joy count. Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith. I love this. We always read the word testing like exam. The word testing there is the word prove. It means to, it's like baking. It means to prove it. It means to ensure that it's authentic. Let me ask you this. Is the gospel you know the gospel you show? Is the Jesus you know the Jesus you show? Because when that proverbial hits that fan, that's when the rubber hits the road. Because this is where comfort conceals. Discomfort reveals. Yeah? Comfort conceals. Oh, yeah, I'm fine. When you're in, guys, Father, we pray for Israel right now. Father, we pray for them. In when you got a terrorist coming into your house, the Jesus you show better be the Jesus you know, amen? And it's, this is where the proving, this is like the testing of your faith. It's not an exam. It's like, this is the real deal. This is the real deal. This isn't that imitation. Friends, I fear sometimes. You hear my heart when I say this. You see, our walk has to line up with our talk. Otherwise, we become like a pirated movie. What we see and what we hear are two different things. How many times has religion been a pirated movie? Every time. But relationship is a blockbuster. And Jesus is the main star. Yeah? The testing of your faith produces endurance. I love this. Let the testing of your faith produces. I want to encourage you right now. Whatever you're facing, whatever you've gone through, going through, or will go through, it's producing something. God doesn't allow it to waste. God doesn't cause anything in our lives to go to waste. You know, this is what I love about Romans 8:28. Everything works together for good for them that love Him and are called according to His purposes. He'll take every circumstance, and when it's all worked out, it's like God did it Himself. Because He gets all the glory, yeah? He takes every hand out of the enemy. It's like God brings the royal flush. He's all in. And the enemy has nothing to stand on. So let patience have its perfect work. Let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Friends, this is what I love. That the testing of your faith produces endurance or patience. But let endurance or patience have its perfect work. This is where I think we check out. We check out at the place, and we don't let endurance have its perfect work. We don't let endurance do the process. Let me say it like this. God is a God of promise, but He's also as well a God of process. And there's no promise without process. Yeah? But what happens is we try and check into a promise, but we check out of a process. Because the process is doing something. It's forming something. And you know, one of the things I've realized, when you have promise and process, the gold in the process is more better and incredible than the gold of the promise. What I've received in the process outweighs what I get in the promise. Because what I get in the promise could be temporary. What I get in the process is eternal. Yeah? You see, if God wasn't a God of process, then Jesus would come as a man, not as an embryo. Let me say it again. If God was not a God of process, then Jesus wouldn't have come as a man. He wouldn't have come as an embryo. He would have come as a man. Can you imagine the entrance of Jesus? If I was writing the Gospels, I would have had Him coming in at His baptism. Come on. Christopher Nolan, Peter Jackson, imagine that. Blockbuster. Coming in. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here I am, guys. Every other religion talks about the amazingness of their God. But Jesus didn't come in His amazingness. He came in His vulnerability. Came as a baby. Why? Because God always starts stuff in the seed. He always starts with a seed. You see, when we pray for an oak tree, He gives us an acorn. And you see, this is why we get frustrated when we pray. Because we don't realize we've already got the answer. But God doesn't answer in fruit, he answers in seeds. Yeah? And so we're praying, God, and we keep praying, and God says, why are you praying for something you've already got? But God, I asked for an oak tree. Well, I give you an acorn, because I'm a God of process, not promise. I start with process that leads you to promise. Yeah, am I speaking to someone? So I know everyone in this place right now, you've prayed for something God's already answered. But the problem is he starts in the unseen. That's our problem, but it's not our problem. It's not his problem. But we see it as a problem. So what do? We keep praying. And God's like, move on. Like, I've already answered. What do you keep praying for? Well, God, I'm not seeing it. Why? Because I start in the unseen. And that's why I love the prophetic, because the prophetic turns the mystery into the meaningful. And it gives us glimpses of things that are about to shoot forth. And that's where it begins to water us and say, hey, you know that thing you prayed? Wow, that's confirmation. Guess what? It's still in the ground. But the prophetic word has come to tell you what's in the unseen. That's why I love the prophetic. That's why we need the prophetic, because it gives you a glimpse of what's in the ground. But there comes a time where all of a sudden the affirmation of the prophetic word becomes confirmation of, whoa, wait a minute, here it is. Yeah? And so never, friends, never despise the prophetic. That's what the Bible says. But test everything. But don't chuck it out. Amen? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces, that patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. Oh, sometimes I like another translation, which I'm glad it does. It's got these little number ones. How many people have got the new Spirit-filled? I love these Bibles. Amen? Everyone's got iPads. Let me, Antiques Roadshow, guys. Antiques Roadshow, come on. This is why I love Pastor Corey, because Pastor Corey is a man of the word, amen? He is a Bible believer. I tell you, I knew I'd come to Newmar and find the Bibles. Go to every other church, it's like, I got my iPad. The worst comes, you know you're getting old when you're standing there doing this, and nothing moves on the page. Do you know my son, he doesn't call it JB Hi-Fi, he calls it JB Wi-Fi. He's like, Dad, what's a hi-fi? It's Wi-Fi. I said, no, buddy, it's hi-fi. Welcome to the 80s, amen? Perfect there is the word mature, so that you would be mature. You see, we think mature is all about age. It's not. I think it's about substance. You could be 50 and immature. You could be 15 and mature. You see, maturity, I believe, is the experiences you've gone through that haven't taken you out, but have added something to your life that God builds with. Maturity is God building in us. Maturity is God building with us. Am I speaking to somebody? So that you would be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. When you let endurance have its perfect work, you live differently. When you know you lack nothing, you order differently. When you know you lack nothing, let me share this story with you. I remember being in Florida, me and Sarah, and we'd just flown in, and I had one of those emails from a pastor to say, hey, Gary, I'm resigning. I'm done with the sheep bites. You know, sheep bite harder than any other animal on this planet. Sheep bites are... Anyone been bitten by a sheep? I've been bitten on this little finger and it lasted months. Never forget, because they got flat teeth, so it bruises the bone. It doesn't pierce the skin. So it goes to the bone level. So I said, listen, man, we're flying in. We will take you out for dinner. We will, you know, count it all joy. We're going to take you out for dinner. And so I said to Sarah, let's take this couple out to a really nice place. You know, let's make it a pastor appreciation month. Amen? And so we'll take this couple out and we'll bless them. And so Sarah's like, hun, are we able to do it? I'm like, yeah, we can. We've been blessed. We just came from Seattle. You know, the church there is, I felt like Paul writing to the, you know, I'm coming to you because of the generosity of others. And so I said, yeah, they've blessed us. It's amazing. So I made the reservation, you know, get dressed. And all of a sudden I thought, my wife's the second Holy Spirit. If I'm not listening to the first, I better listen to the second. So I jumped on my computer and I checked my account. I had 67 cents. I'm thinking, I can't cancel. I cannot tell my wife. I am stepping out in faith. I am going to that restaurant. I am going to bless them pastors. Jesus, take the wheel. No, just take the whole flipping car. And so we sit down and, you know, they open it up. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, pick the salad, pick the salad, pick the salad, pick the salad. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to have a mains. And oh, look at that lobster. Oh, my gosh. They've got lobster. I bet they got lobster. Yeah, just everything. Gary, what are you doing? Do you know, I thought, stuff this. I can't even afford the bread. I can't even afford the bread they bring in. I said, just go for your life. Get a starter, get a mains, get the champagne. Why don't you just go to the cellar and get it all? And so I'm like, I got 67 cents. I am sweating. So they order the lobster. They order the, so I'm just calculating in my head. So, you know, the guy comes around, can we get you dessert? I'm thinking, just get away, dude. Just go. Yes, yeah, just get dessert. Get it all. Why don't we just do a tasting platter to go with it? And all of a sudden, I get up and I go to the bathroom. And I'm looking for $100 bills. You know, I'm thinking there might have been a drug deal in the toilet, so I'm lifting the cistern up, thinking there's something underneath. Nothing. Nothing. I look for a river to see if I can find a fish with two coins. Nothing. Nothing. And so I'm walking back from the bathroom, and all of a sudden the waiter's coming to what he thinks I'm a runner. He knows I'm a runner. And so he comes up, he says, sir, I need to speak with you. I'm thinking, oh, he's got a word of knowledge. I ain't got no master's card, amen? And so he said, sir, I just want to let you know, there was a party in just earlier who recognized you, and they've covered your bill. I wanted to kiss the guy. I said, what? They said, yeah, your whole bill is covered. And he said they've also as well left some extra if you guys wanted to get a dessert or get anything extra. So just go for your life. When you know you lack nothing, you order differently. When you know you lack nothing, you order differently. This is maturity. I'm not talking about carelessness. I'm talking about covenant. When you know who you are and whose you are, everything changes. This is what maturity is about, friends, is we don't live in lack. We know we lack nothing. Therefore, when we pray, we don't beg, we bless. When we're in need, we know He supplies. When we ask, we know we've already received. That's maturity. That's stepping into the fullness of who He is. And this is why we have to let patience and endurance have its perfect work. Because if it doesn't have its perfect work, friends, we're going to be found immature. We're going to be found in a place of incompleteness, and we're going to be found lacking. And friends, the last time I checked, no one wants to be with someone who's lacking. Friends, God wants us to be a people who know that there's fresh bread. The fire is burning. That we don't live in hope, we live in faith. Because the Bible says hope does not disappoint. I think, oh, I'm not in disappointment. But I know that I'm living in an appointment of God in my life. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, this is the maturity. This is the mission that He's inviting us into. Friends, and it's an outworking. We're outworking. You see, we haven't arrived. For those that are cognizant of the next life, don't see a finish line. Let me say it again. Those that are cognizant of the next life don't see a finish line. Because you don't see work, you see legacy. You realize it doesn't end with you. It doesn't end with you. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, this is what He's inviting us into. This is the mission and this is the maturity. You see, when you realize that you lack nothing, you realize every circumstance works for you. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for me a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. You see, every time there's hardship, it's a blessing. That's why Jesus said, count it when people speak all manner of things about you. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, someone coming up to me, he said, Gary, you're on that end times prophetic website. I said, which one? They're calling you a false prophet. I said, what? I know. I said, did they spell my name with one R or two? They spelled it with one. I said, oh, that's great. Because if they spelled it with two, there would have been a problem. Why? Because if people revile you, count it joy. If people speak against you, count it joy. Why? Because it is working for you a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. Amen? When circumstances happen, this is maturity that, as Paul said, I am pressed on every side but not crushed. I'm persecuted but not downtrodden. I haven't given up. Guess what? I want to give in, but I ain't giving up. Am I speaking to someone? Yeah? And this is what he's inviting us into. He's inviting us into a place of maturity. Yeah. Friends, I want to encourage you. You're my heart. I am done with mentorship. I'm done with internship. If I see them words again, the Bible hasn't got them words. The Bible's got discipleship. Yes. We're into, and I love when I walked in, discipleship. We're not about mentorship and internship. We're about discipleship, amen? Because if you change the ingredients, you change the experience. And we're wondering why we're not seeing disciples, because people are not doing discipleship, they're doing mentorship. And it's like mules are being, you know, it's good for one goal and that's it. But God wants legacy. He wants discipleship. I'm into discipleship. You see, I want to encourage you, church. The maturity and the mission comes together. Because he wants you as a disciple. God wants you not just to be a disciple, but to disciple. And this is the beautiful tension we get to hold. While I'm being discipled, I get to disciple. And while I'm discipling, I get to be discipled as well. It's the both and. The same, you see, leaders never stop being learners. Like fathers never stop being sons. That was a big wake-up call for me when my son was born. Because all of a sudden I thought, oh, I've got to provide and I've got to protect. I've got to provide and I've got to protect. And I remember when the Lord said to me, Gary, when did you stop being a son? Just because you became a father doesn't stop making you a son. Just because we become a leader doesn't mean we stop being learners. Amen? That's the beautiful invitation. I tell you something. I love dropping my kids off to school, but I tell you, it's a prayer point for me every time. How many people have kiss and drop? I want it to be kiss and drop kick, amen? Because it's like the angst in that. But the other thing that gets me is, and you know how when I say this, is we, like when I do kiss and drop, and I'm in a fortunate position that I get to do that. But I see all these mothers in their active way. Hey, Sharon, how are you doing today? Great, Gary. Been to the gym? No. Hey, Julie, how you doing? Great to see you. Been to the gym? No. What? What the heck you got your active wear on for? It's comfortable. What? It's a word of knowledge here somewhere. It's comfortable. There we are. It's back to what? Friends, I'm all for active wear, but be active, amen? This is what it's like in the body of Christ. Being have active wear on and being inactive is like putting on Christ and not healing the sick. This is what is happening in the body of Christ. We're putting on Christ, but we're not doing anything about it. We're putting on Christ, and we're not doing anything about it. That's like wearing active wear and not going to the gym. You see, friends, God wants us not just to have active wear, he wants us to have activated wear. That we are not just active, but we activate. that we're activating people into the things of God. We are discipling. This is activation. You see, I remember leading this group once. I love doing the prophetic, but I also love doing training people in healing, going out and healing the sick and stuff, which I haven't done for, and I feel like, help me, Jesus. I haven't done for a long time, but again, why? Because of comfort. I'm not speaking just to you. I'm speaking to myself here. There's this comfort that comes in because you sort of get into your lane. Okay, I'll only do the prophetic, but I love seeing people getting healed. And so I remember doing this training. It was years ago, and this kid comes back the next week. He goes, Gary, I haven't seen anyone healed. I'm thinking, flipping heck, man. Really? He said, I just haven't seen anyone. He said, all these testimonies. He said, the teaching was great, but I just haven't seen anyone healed. I said, James, how many people you prayed for? He said, no one. I'll take I didn't get the message for 200. But it's like, what? You haven't prayed? No, I said, well, how do you expect someone to get healed if you haven't prayed for them? Oh. Is that what we're supposed to? Yeah. And you see, this is where we become knowers but not showers. This is where we know it, but we never show it. And this is what it's like when we wear our active wear. It looks great. It's comfortable, but friends, comfortable never raised the dead. Comfortable never healed the sick. Comfortable, this is the mission and the maturity he's wanting to invite us into. I'd love the keyboardist to come back. I really sense this morning, friends, God's not looking to sweeten the deal, amen? And I'm certainly not looking for people to step into condemnation this morning, but I pray as I've been convicted, you were convicted this morning. Because conviction leads us to courage. And I sense this morning, if we want to live out the Great Commission, we've got to live out the Great Command. That there has to be not just a love for each other, but there has to be a love for the lost. There has to be a love for our nation. There has to be a love for the world. There has to be a love that goes beyond just us being spiritual candy on a Sunday. Friends, I'm done with sugar, amen? I'm done with sugar. God doesn't want to sweeten deals. He wants to bring the raw. He wants to bring the real. He wants to bring the reformational. And I remember once just going, Father, like, how do I love my neighbor well? It's not with a pot of sugar. It's God, what is his language? And cut a long story short, the Lord gave me this stock, this ASX stock, and I shared it with him. And he said, where did you get this from? I said, oh, a friend. Because sometimes we just go all in, don't we? Like, oh yeah, Jesus, I was in a vision, John. I was there, and all of a sudden this came down like a blanket. And I said, no. Lure them in. Walk with them. Do life with them. Teach them the unforced rhythms of grace. And I shared it with him. And he had literally an X amount of money that 10X'd in 3 months. Because I shared this one stop with him. How do you love your neighbor? Find their love language and speak to them. And then he came back. He said, Gary, what was that? And I said, John, my friend's not from Singapore. My friend is Jesus. And every time there's something in his life, where does he come? He comes to me. Will you pray? Is he saved yet? That's not me to ask. Because that's a question. And God never asked me to be a question. He asked me to be an answer. But I know I've planted a seed in his life. And I know God's doing a work that I can't see right now, but I will see. And this is what we've got to get under our belts, guys. This is what we've got to get in our hearts. That evangelism isn't about fruit, it's about seed. Yeah? Are you planting a seed that God can water? Someone else can water, but God get the increase. Friend, I want to ask you a question here today. Are you ready to get up and grow up? Are you ready for mission and maturity to be restored to your life? That you're ready to step out of the uncomfortable. Step out of the comfortable and step into the uncomfortable. that if you're wanting to see things you've never done, you need to be willing to do things you've never done. If you're wanting to see things you've never seen, you've got to be willing to do them things you've never done. Or maybe you have done them things, but God wants to bring you back to your first love. I'd love to open this carpet up right now, because I believe there's a commissioning in this place the Lord wants to do. I believe there's a consecration He wants to do in this place. I want to minister and pray for people, but I really sense an urgency in my spirit that this is a house of activation, that this is a house of launching, that this is a house that is going to set a rhythm, not just in the Pneuma network, but I feel in the body of Christ. I said it in the first service, I believe this is a spiritual boot camp, friends. I believe this is the trenches of the Lord, amen? This is where the rubber hits the road, because you see, again, it takes a special kind of people to set up and set down every Sunday. It doesn't take the comfortable, it takes the uncomfortable, amen? Am I speaking to somebody? And so if you're here this morning, friends, and you know you've got comfortable, you know there's an area of your life that's just got so comfortable that you miss the courage. You miss that currency of faith because you've traded it with the familiar. You miss that currency that causes you to walk on water. This is what my wife said once. She said, Gary, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. Friends, you might be here this morning and you subscribe to the active way, but you're not active. This world needs an encounter. And it ain't coming from you. It's coming from you. It's coming from you. Amen? Friend, if that's you this morning, I want you to come. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God takes the active. Amen? God takes the active and makes you activated this morning. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come to the carpet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just come. You know you've been comfortable. Just come, friends. This isn't a place of condemnation. This isn't a place where you can say, oh, well, I'm going to save face this morning. Friends, if that's you, I want to pray that God activates something in your world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just go back, my friend, to what you were playing when you first got up. Them progressions. So beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're done with the comfortable. Father, we're done with the inactive. Father, we're done with cushy Christianity. Father, we pray right now. Lord, you're not building platforms, you're building altars. So Lord, we give up the platforms today. Lord, we're not coming because we want a platform. We're coming because we want to build an altar. Father, we're not coming because we want a platform. We're coming because we want to build an altar. Friends, the Lord said to me this months ago, He said, fame falls on platforms, but fire falls on altars. Holy Spirit. Father, we consecrate ourselves again. Father, what comfort caused us to get off the altar? Father, we ask you, allow consecration to get us back on it. Father, what comfort distracted us in? Look, let consecration, God, cause us to lay hold of the mission and the mandate of your gospel. Wow. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I speak to narratives of comfort. And Lord, I ask you to flip the script right now. Who said you were naked? Who said you would be rejected? Who said you would be reviled? For I say to you, says the Lord, that this is a day of awe. This is a day of wonder. This is a day where my bride, without spot or wrinkle, arises. This is the day, says the Lord, where I will cause an attraction like bees to honey. Of my kingdom and my glory. This is the day, says the Lord, of great exploits, not excuses. God, you're turning excuses into exploits in Jesus' name. This is the day where we put on Christ and live active and activated lives. We are active and activating. We are active and activating right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.